we have to challenge ourselves and you have to push through the pain. And I think sometimes people try to figure out exactly what the pain's going to feel like and they scare themselves as opposed to just taking it one day at a time.
This is Running for Real, the podcast for runners who know that for every runner's high, there are just as many lows. All those just missed PRs, easy runs that feel hard, injury blues, and more. Each week, we'll talk to running, health, and wellness experts about their highs, lows, and best advice to build our confidence. Running for Real is about being honest, being brave, and most of all, not feeling alone. And now here's our host, who thinks bacon goes with anything, Tina Muir.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to episode 122 of the Running for Real podcast. This is day 5 of our mental training week. Thank you so much for joining me today. Yesterday, we had Justin Sewer on. What a powerful episode. So much action advice. And it was all said by the kind of guy you just want to have in your life. I just loved listening to Justin and I really enjoyed that. And if you didn't go follow him on social media already, go do it. His Instagram, his tweets are just so inspiring. Now, today, I have someone else who is going to really inspire you. You're really going to enjoy, but in a different kind of way. Today, we have Ben Newman on the show. And honestly, from following him, I thought he was this like kind of tough, aggressive guy, but you're soon going to see that's not exactly true. And I love that about him. As you will hear, he calls himself a teddy bear. And I think that is so accurate and just in such a good way. Now, Ben is a performance coach. He's an international keynote speaker, best-selling author, and he has many Fortune 500 companies, business executives, and professional athletes within all the different federations. He's also a contributor on Forbes.com. No easy feat, I would imagine. But before we get to that, I just want to talk to you about something for a second. I know ads on TV or podcasts can seem annoying, and I get that totally, but this content is free. And these world-renowned experts I bring on the show are giving us an hour of their time. Imagine any other scenario where someone like that would give you an hour of their time. There isn't one. I mean, if I met these people in person before these interviews, there's no way they would give me more than 5 minutes. And if it is, it's going to be this totally scripted, produced, they know exactly what they're going to be saying. It's just completely different. Podcasts are so unique and they allow us to get like inside the mind, inside the person. And not just the one that is being interviewed, but also the person who is doing the interviewing. So many of you say that you feel that you know me, and I totally get that. I feel the same way about Dax Shepherd. I feel like we would get along, but I know in reality, the chance of us ever getting to know each other is never going to happen. So I love learning about what he's really like through his podcast, Armchair Expert. I get it. Ads can be annoying, and I'm the person who, you know, doesn't watch TV because ads drive me crazy. But I promise you, podcast hosts are just trying to get by, trying to just do enough so they can continue to do what they do, continue to run their shows. And okay, Dax Shepherd probably doesn't need to bring in any more money. He has enough. He has like 6 ads per show, I think. That's a lot. But people like myself and other podcasts are just trying to make an honest living. It requires a lot more time than you might think. And me trying to get 7 episodes this week during Steve's busiest season of the year probably wasn't the smartest thing to do, probably definitely wasn't easy. But friends, I really want to help you with your mental training. I know this is the hardest part to get right, and I hope the tools that we've learned this week are going to be things you can use. These are so hard to get right, hard to actually work on, as we will talk a little bit about today. But it's also the easiest thing that can kind of screw us up in our races. And I am working on a mental training course for the summer, something if people just want to go a bit deeper. So I have now revealed that to you. I didn't mean to do that, but I've told you a little bit about it and I'm excited to tell you more. It will be coming late summer, so I'll tell you a bit more about that. But I just want to say, I hope you can maybe look at ads on this show in a different way. I only allow brands on here that I really believe in. And anyone who is interested in this show, unless I already know and love them, like Dang Foods, which I'll tell you about in a minute, I make sure to have a 30-minute conversation with the brand to make sure I think they are the right fit. It's really important to me that I find companies who are moving in the right direction, both morally and with their products. The words in my ad, I mean them. I've turned away many companies because I just don't believe in them. And whenever you purchase one of the products through the links in the show notes or by visiting the link I mention in the show, that shows that company that my word means something and you appreciate me. So thank you for anyone who has ever purchased anything because I said it. Thank you for your support, for trusting in me. I hope you love the products I recommend. And if you don't, please let me know so I can keep that in mind as I move forward. All right, that being said, long-windedly as usual, I would love to thank our sponsors for today, Body Health Dang and Athletic Greens. I'm just going to tell you about two right now and we'll hear some more later in the episode. Body Health have been with me since the start of the Running For Real podcast, and they've always been there to help me recover from whatever I'm working through at that time, because I'm always pushing myself in one way or another, and I guess suspicious feeling that you probably are too. Body Health Perfect Amino is the perfect ally to help you handle the stresses and soreness of training while you go about the craziness of your life. Go to tinamuir.com/aminos, that's A-M-I-N-O-S, for more information and to go get yourself some with 10% off. I also want to thank Dang Foods for sponsoring this episode of the Running For Real podcast. I mentioned to you earlier that I didn't need to screen them because I've loved their products for years. I've actually been pretty addicted to them at points. One of my favorite snack brands of all time. I'll tell you more about their new and exciting product I'm addicted to later in the show. But for now, go visit Dang Foods. That's DANGFOODS.com. And use code TINAMUIR for 15% off your entire order. Ben, thank you so much for joining me on the Running For Real podcast. I am really excited to have you here on our regular Friday episode. You are the guest that it's almost guaranteed people will listen to, as this is a normal Friday. So thank you so much for being here today.
Tina, thank you so much. And I appreciate that guarantee because I am very, very excited to be with you and all your listeners. This will be a lot of fun.
Well, I think our listeners will be feeling very much the same way after the episode when they go find you on social media, because when I followed you, now every time I log into Instagram, it's like, bam, there's one of your like quotes like right in my face. So it's hard not to be inspired by that. And, you know, easy to see why you have well over 100,000 followers, don't you? 100
yes.
Or something. So yeah. Easy to see why. And I'll tell everyone listening a bit more about Ben and where you can find him later on. But go follow his social media because it has some great quotes on there. But okay, this is a running podcast. And I would firstly love for you to kind of begin with telling us a bit about your relationship with running. You know, maybe it's not something you've done, you know, continuously your whole life, but tell us about, you know, you have run a marathon, you have run some triathlons, half marathons. Tell us a bit about how running has figured in your life.
Well, I used to be the individual, right? The motivational speaker, inspirational speaker, the coach who used to say, I hate running. So I'm giving you the the honest answer, because that's the way that we all need to be. And I've learned to love it through the challenge. And I used to hate it because I wasn't that great at running. I mean, I think back to high school when for basketball, I was a basketball player. So for high school basketball, you had to run the mile as fast as you possibly could. And like getting to 6 minutes was like this tremendous challenge for me. And so I was never the fastest runner. So you hate it, but then you say, well, you can't hate anything, right? If something isn't going well for you, whether it's business or running, it's an area for us to improve. So I've learned to enjoy it. I've learned to love it. I still like to do Murphs, you know, different kinds of workouts where running in a strength vest for different things at different times. So I've learned to enjoy it. I'm still not fast, but I no longer hate it. And the challenge of going through a marathon and the preparation is all of your listeners probably know, or almost all of them know, it can just be invigorating as much as it can be painful and challenging. So it's been fantastic.
So true. And was it when you really started working as a performance coach and started, you know, doing this for other people, helping to show them that, you know, what their mind, what they thought they believed really had a big impact on their actions? Was it only then that you started to realize, or another time?
All right, I'm going to give you a really, really big compliment here, Tina, because you deserve it. So so everybody knows we did not prepare for this. Uh-uh. That is one of the best questions I've ever been asked, and I'm going to tell you why. Because you intuitively realized from my answer there that I didn't like it, and there was something that I had to do. And you're right. As a coach, we have to rise up and challenge ourselves if we're going to inspire or encourage other people to challenge yourselves. So you absolutely nailed it. One of the things that I do every single year is physically do things to challenge myself. I've gotten into professional boxing shape, getting into shape where I could be an NFL linebacker. So all of these different things, running the marathons, because I believe it's our responsibility, if we're sharing and inspiring others, that we better be rising up to the challenge ourselves.
Walking the walk instead of just talking the talk, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. And you told me before the interview, you said we didn't talk much before, but you did tell me you had a really good story for us for your marathon. So tell us about that.
All right, so we're gonna dive right in. So this is gonna be, you got it. Everybody, you're gonna have to give me permission to be long-winded, but I promise you,
I am the ultimate long-winded. So don't apologize about that.
I promise you, this is gonna be worth it. And some of you may know one of the main individuals from this story. So I had the opportunity. I went and I ran this half marathon in St. Louis back in 2012. And after running it in 2012, as I prepared for that, it was one of those I hate running. Like, I never imagined running a half marathon. Can I even get my body to do that? And I went and I did it. I remember I had a bloody right ankle when I was done. I've kept the shoes that still have the blood on it. And it was just like, am I ever going to run again? And shortly thereafter, I heard an unbelievable woman speak at an event in St. Louis, and her name is Terry Grieg. For those of you that don't know Terry, look her up. She is a cancer-surviving Ironman triathlete. She is one of the most extraordinary individuals I've ever met in my life. And I hear Terry speak, and I get done, and I go up to her, and I'm just like, you are a gift. Like, you are incredible. And we had never met before, and we kind of go off to the side, and we start talking, and I tell her the half marathon story. And I told her, I said, because of you, I am going to run a full marathon. And she's like, are you serious? I've inspired you to do that. I'm like, if you can run a full Ironman with cancer all through your body, yes, I can commit to doing a full marathon. So she says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to tell you how to train. I'm going to tell you about hydration. I'm going to tell you where to hide your water bottles on your, like, telling me everything. And I'm like, this is incredible. So she and I worked together in 2013 to train for the Go St. Louis, which was April 15th, 2013. We used some of Hal Higdon's stuff and built my calendar, and I knew what I had to do, and I had to commit every day, and I had to push myself, and I did some awesome training runs where I literally ran out of my house and ran to downtown St. Louis, touched the St. Louis Arch, and ran all the way home. That was like a 20-mile training run. So some awesome stuff happened. And then all of a sudden, let me take you to the big train, the actual day of the race. So it's April 15th. I'm driving to downtown St. Louis. So here, I've literally trained to do something that I used to not even believe was possible for me. And Terry, this incredible woman, has inspired me. So as you all know with a race, your adrenaline's pumping. You're ready to go. You're all fired up. And then I get this text message from Terry. And the text message says, what time do you think you're going to finish? And I said, well, I'm starting at 7 a.m. and based upon the training schedule, I'll probably finish around 11:15 or 11:30. And Terry responds back, oh, you'll finish way sooner than that. And I'm like, oh, Terry, like, I love you. Like, that's the final boost that I needed, right? There's the extra oomph that she was giving me. And then she texts me back and she says, I am going to be waiting for you at the finish line. She says, I've never met your family. I want to meet your family. And today I'm running the half marathon for fun. I'm like, wait a second, running the half marathon for fun. She still has stage 4 cancer all through her body. Like, you try to put those pieces together. We all make so many excuses about what holds us back in our lives. And there's typically those examples of people who have tremendous strength to do extraordinary things. So I'm all ready now. I mean, Terry sent me these messages. She's going to be waiting for me. So if you could picture this, anybody who's run the Go St. Louis, it is the perfect track for a St. Louis born kid. I'm born and raised St. Louis. You line up, there's thousands of people, you're staring at the St. Louis Arch, and boom, that gun goes off and you take off running. So I'm putting one foot in front of the other. The next thing you know, I make a right-hand turn. We pass Busch Stadium, home of the 11-time world champion St. Louis Cardinals. Now the heart's really pumping. And then I'm heading down Broadway and you see the Budweiser sign. And the Budweiser sign, obviously St. Louis, it's the home of the King of Beers, and you get closer to that Budweiser sign. And I always ask audiences when I share this story, I said, what do you think I started to smell? And people start yelling, beer, hops, right? You start smelling all of it. Well, my wife is an executive at Anheuser-Busch for over 20 years. So in our house, we call that money. So I start smelling that money. And the next thing you know, I turn and I make a turn heading back the other way down Broadway. And I see the mile four sign. And the mile four sign was my big first piece of adversity on this race.
Thank you to Athletic Greens for sponsoring this episode of the Running For Real podcast. I always wish I could be one of those juicer people who got up every morning, stuck a load of vegetables and fruit in a juicer, drank it down as the sun rose, except I'm not that sophisticated. I definitely don't have a juicer. And the idea of cleaning a juicer every day makes me feel stressed, even thinking about it with all the bits where food could get stuck and just no thank you. I did spend a lot of my time feeling paranoid that I wasn't getting enough fruits and vegetables. And so I thought, what can I do about this? I was so good at it before, but I've just lost my ability to be good with that in the last year. Notice I said I was, because I do now have a solution. Every morning I wake up, go downstairs, fill my shaker with water, and add a scoop of Athletic Greens. It has 75 carefully selected ingredients, which cover the 5 important areas of our health, and the formula builds on the work that you put in, providing daily support where your diet may fall short, like mine does. I've been amazed about how easily it fit into my schedule, and it means I get 12 ounces of water down before I even eat anything, which is how I always wanted to start my day. I just never did. And let me just mention, it does taste good too. It's been months since I started this, and I love the way it makes me feel and just how much stress it's taken from my shoulders about not getting enough in. Don't get me wrong, I still try to eat really well, but some days, just being real, it isn't going to happen. Now you, my friends, can get a free 30-day travel pack with your first order valued at $79 by visiting athleticgreens.com/Tina and give it a try. I love it. I think you will too. That's athleticgreens.com/Tina.
And I always ask audiences when I share this story, I said, what do you think I started to smell? And people start yelling, beer, hops, right? You start smelling all of it. Well, my wife is an executive at Anheuser-Busch for over 20 years. So in our house, we call that money. So I start smelling that money. And the next thing you know, I turn and I make a turn heading back the other way down Broadway. And I see the mile 4 sign. And the mile 4 sign was my big first piece of adversity on this race. And for all of you, whether you're set out to run a race, whether it's a challenge in business, whether it's a challenge in raising children, which could be all another podcast at times, that can be a big challenge. Whatever that challenge is, we have to recognize you're going to face obstacles. You're going to face challenge, but it's our ability to fight through them. So this mile 4 sign was my first big piece of adversity, because that year earlier when I ran the half marathon at that mile 4 sign, I got passed by a woman pushing a baby stroller. So I had this in my mind, like, I don't care who passes me. It does not matter. I have to stay in my lane. I have trained to do something that I told myself I could never do. It's about me. It's not about who passes me. I've just got to put one foot in front of the other. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the first times during the race when I looked down on my left forearm. And on my left forearm, I had my mother's initials, which is a whole other story. She's my inspiration for life. And I had my mother's initials. I had my wife's initials. I had my son's initials. I had my daughter's initials. And I looked down and I said, I'm going to fight through this first challenge. I know there's more coming. And the second piece of adversity was the 18-mile marker. So the 18-mile marker passed the street that I live on in St. Louis. So if you can imagine, right, those of you doing who have run marathons, I ask people, like, you don't train past 20 miles. Like, what happens in the last 5-6 miles? And people are like, oh, gosh, like, it's, they, like, don't really give me a straight answer. it's like a marathon thing, right? We don't really give you the real answer. So you're passing this 18-mile marker, having no idea what's ahead. You pass the street that you live on. I'm thinking, I'm going to hang a left-hand turn right here, and I'm going to text Terry and say, hey, come meet me on my front porch. You can meet my family here, right? Like, I'm not completing this race. But once again, I looked down at my forearm. And what I did was I had created an environment that day to finish this race. And I think for all of us, when you show up every day, whether it's for training, whether it's on your race day, whether it's something for business, create an environment that causes you to do what you say you're going to do. So I looked down and I thought, I got to put one foot in front of the other. Then I thought about Terry Grieg running these Ironmans with cancer through her body. I thought about my mother, her last year living, coming to the dinner table with an IV stand, a divorced mom. I have got an older brother, divorced mom of 2 kids, to ask me how my day was at school. I thought of my friends who are troops. I had spoken 4 months earlier at Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas, like men and women fighting for us to have our freedom. And I can't put one foot in front of the other. Mm-hmm. And those are the things I thought about. And I just kept telling myself, one foot in front of the other. And I'm telling you, it was like the slowest pace you've ever seen in your life. It was more than a walk, but it was very slow. And I just kept reminding myself, and I'm telling you, Tina, with a mile and a half to go in the race, I had no idea how I was going to finish this race. And you kind of look off into the distance, and who do I see running at me? Terry Greig. And I think everybody just figured out it was well past 11:15 or 11:30, right? I'm well beyond the time that Terry even told me I would finish. There's thousands of people for this race. She'd already run a half marathon, and she runs through everybody to come and find me. Aww. And Terry runs, and she gets right next to me, and she looks up, and she says, Ben, she says, where does it hurt? I said, Terry, I said, it hurts everywhere. And she's like, you can do this. And she said the magical words. I think these are the most powerful words a leader can share with anybody. She said, I believe in you. And I'm an emotional dude. I cry when I watch Extreme Home Makeover. So I'm teary-eyed even telling you guys this story, thinking of the number of runners who understand what I'm sharing right now. And she says this to me, and I just, you had this belief, like, I'm going to do this. And she and I went 1 foot in front of the other, 1 foot in front of the other, 1 foot in front of the other. And it was the most incredible, invigorating, but painful experience. And with about 45 seconds left in the race, Terry looks back up at me and she says, buddy, go finish your race. And she peels off into the crowd. And many of you may know who Terry is. If you don't, she was the inspirational participant on NBC Sports for the triathlon. You should have her on the show. She'd probably love
to be. I've never heard of her, but yeah.
Oh, I will get you guys hooked up. You guys will fall in love with Terry. And she's been on the Today Show. She's been on Ellen. I mean, she's a celebrity at these events. And she peels off. It was one of the most selfless acts I've ever seen. I mean, wouldn't it have been the perfect stage for her, right? It would have been on the front page of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch the next day. Terry Greig helps this poor guy make it across the finish line. But instead, Terry Greig's selfless act allowed my wife to have my children run to me. I literally held my children in my arms as I passed that finish line doing something that I never thought I could do. And I love sharing that story. I've never been able to share it to an entire audience of runners. So this is super awesome for me. But I share that story, and I always ask people, I say, who's your Terry? Who's your Terry?
Yeah.
And then I always love asking, who are you a Terry for? Because I think the way that this world is today, there's so much challenge, there's so much adversity. Just don't go at life alone. You know, be willing to be vulnerable, to be authentic, right? I'm this big guy who works with the Alabama football team and professional athletes. And I mean, I got to be vulnerable with you guys to tell you, like, I don't run fast. Like, I was so weak, I could hardly finish a marathon. But that's not what life is about. It's about challenging yourself, being your best, welcoming people into your life to challenge you, but also us taking our talents and our love and pouring into other people with it.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that story, Ben. That was just so inspiring to hear. And, you know, we all do recognize those feelings, and how special of Terry to do that for you. And okay, so there's one thing that came to mind there. There's a few things during your story, but the most recent and important one, I think, is, so you said about who's your Terry, or who are you a Terry for? So who are you a Terry for? You could really kind of do with anyone in your life. You know, you want to be a good example to people, but who's your Terry? Someone listening who's thinking, okay, well, that's, you know, that's wonderful that you found someone who has been on the Today Show and has been on Ellen, which, by the way, that like makes my heart pump thinking about being on Ellen. And, you know, but people might say, but I don't have anyone in my life like that. It could that person be someone that you maybe, you know, they have books and you listen to their books on Audible, or, and they have a social media and you follow their social media and you read their emails and things like that. Can it be someone that you are not like physically in contact with, or does it have to be someone who you see and engage with? Like, what if someone doesn't have anyone that they know of that they can get to?
What a fabulous question. And I definitely believe in having mentors that you've never met. I've had plenty of those in my life, and it is from the books that you read, or think of just the ways in the world we live in today, from Instagram to podcasts. Like, there's so many ways that you can be influenced. And one thing I would say is, if people are saying, I don't have somebody like that, I would just encourage you to slow down and think about the relationships in your life, because maybe you've actually run past those people wanting to help you. And I think we all have that moment where we can slow down and say, okay, maybe I can be authentic. I can be more vulnerable. This person has extended their hand to me and I didn't accept it. So when the timing is right, maybe you accept that hand. But to directly answer the question, I 100% agree that you can absolutely have those mentors. John Wooden, who is a world famous basketball coach, one of the greatest coaches of all time from UCLA, won 10 championships. A lot of people don't know, he actually wrote more best-selling books in his 90s than 99% of best-selling authors. So the guy's just a legendary thinker. He used to say that you can't have a good day until you've done something for somebody else with no expectation of anything in return, right? So there's things like that. I think about that every day. That's part of my makeup of what I do every day, a random act of kindness. So I never met John Wooden. I wish I would have been able to meet him, but he has had massive influence on how I think.
I love that. And I think that's kind of, along the lines I was thinking of, using someone's words to inspire you to do things maybe you wouldn't have considered doing otherwise. I love that so much. Thank you so much. Now, one thing that you are really kind of into and kind of known for is about mental toughness. Now, this is something I know my audience is very interested in, but I read on your website, and this, I'm going to just read this out because I think this is very true of so many people, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on why. You said, someone says they're willing to do anything to learn how to become mentally tough, but when faced with the discomfort required, they fold up like a picnic chair. Why is that the case that people, because I hear that all the time, I want to be mentally tougher, but then always seem to be saying, I want to be mentally tougher and never actually becoming mentally tougher. Why is that?
I think oftentimes it's easier to protect ourselves and to hold back from being the person that we were destined to be rather than challenging ourselves. And, you know, making yourself uncomfortable speeds up the process of mental toughness. So, but if you're unwilling to make yourself uncomfortable, you're not really going to be able to understand what you can do to push to achieve. And that's one of the reasons why, as you picked up on it, I've loved every year kind of challenging myself to do different things because it tests me physically. It tests me mentally. I'm currently, as we record this podcast, I'm on day 7 of a 30-day cleanse. I have never done a 30-day cleanse in my life. And the longest I'd ever gone is 9 days. And I'm telling you, it is challenging. I love food. Like, that's one of the things that holds me back. But we have to challenge ourselves and you have to push through the pain. And I think sometimes people try to figure out exactly what the pain's going to feel like and they scare themselves as opposed to just taking it one day at a time. So for me, like with this cleanse, I take it one day at a time. I take it one meal at a time. I know that whether there's this shake that's coming or it's actually a meal that I get to have, and I break it down into what I can manage. And that's what I think for each of you is understanding with that next big challenge, you break it down. How many of you have ever trained for a race? Or I'm sorry, did not train for a race, but you showed up and just ran. Now, we may have some ultra competitive runners. I know you are, Tina. So maybe you've actually done that where you just show up and you can do that. I think you probably can. But, you know, for a guy like me, I couldn't show up to that marathon without training, right? So why do we train? Because it helps build our mental toughness and our confidence. So if you already know what it means to break down into small bite-sized micromanagement pieces, hitting a big goal, then don't scare yourself with writing a book or becoming part of a charity or starting your business. My mentor is a guy named John Gordon, and I love John to death. He's mentored me since 2008. The impact he's had on my life, I could never give enough thank yous or enough appreciation to him. And if he were here with us right now, he would say, what do faith and fear have in common? And it's a future that hasn't happened yet. So you can't have both. So we can be fearful and say, well, Tina, this is going to be so painful, that's not for me. Or you can have faith and say, hey, if I've applied breaking down this big goal in running, I can apply breaking down a big goal at anything in life. And just go believe in yourself. Take those words Terry told me. I want all of you right now, think of a really, really big goal. Think of something you've thought about, but you haven't taken action on. And I want you to hear my words because maybe Tina's right. Maybe there's some of you who you don't have that, Terry. I want you to hear these words. I believe in you. I believe in you. Why? Because you're listening to this. I believe in you because you're a runner. I believe in you because of the pain that you've experienced. that I know that pain from having done it, but I know what you've gone through. So I believe in you. And I believe that you can break down any goal you want to achieve in your life. And I believe that mental toughness lies inside of you. And I believe you can attack this just like you attack a race. You do it one day at a time, one training session at a time, one run at a time, and don't look beyond it. Don't trip on anything behind you. Don't try to predict what's going to happen in the future. You just give your best in the moment where you are.
I love that. That is so good. And everyone listening, I hope you listened to Ben's words there. They were truly said with passion. And you know I feel the same way. So now you've got two of us who are behind you, even if you don't have a Terry right now. And just one thing that came to mind when you were saying that. So working in kind of the field of the mind and mental coaching and performance psychology kind of thing, we often get told that it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. We want that validation from other people, like saying, I believe in you, or I think you can do this. But really, we need that validation and belief from ourselves. So what would be your argument for someone who maybe gets people telling them all the time, you know, I think you can do this, I think you can do this. And their response is always, really? I don't know. Like, maybe if they don't say it out loud, but they really struggle with that self-belief.
So what we tell ourselves silently or what we tell others loudly that actually comes out of our mouths, both are heard or interpreted through our minds or our set of ears. So what you tell yourself is what you believe, which is going to help you or hold you back from taking the necessary action to actually achieve the goal. So your thoughts are your beliefs, and they're either going to cause you to take action or cause you to not take action. And there's 6 mental training tools. And as a gift for the opportunity to be on the show, I want everybody to have the opportunity to get your mental toughness playbook for free. So Tina can send out the link. It's freeplaybook.net. And everybody can get access to your mental toughness playbook. And one of those, it's exactly what we use in our coaching work in business and in sports. And one of those mental training tools is called your I am statements.
Thank you to Body Health for sponsoring these bonus episodes of the Running For Real podcast. You've heard me talk about Body Health Perfect Amino a lot over the years. And I'm sure you've noticed that I wore the Body Health logo on my chest in the Boston Marathon. Because they've supported me for so many years and they've been with me through thick and thin, I wanted to make sure everyone knew that they were behind me and I appreciated them. Maybe you've heard me talking about it, but felt a little bit confused as to what it was. They created a page to answer your questions about that are just for Running For Real fans. And you can visit it by go to tinamuir.com/aminos. That's tinamuir.com/aminos. Perfect Amino helps your body recover from tough training, something you are going to need as you work through these mental tips and tricks learned in these episodes as you have your big races coming. As many of the experts mentioned, getting your fueling and recovery right is absolutely critical. Yes, even from a mental perspective. And Body Health Perfect Amino contains the 8 essential amino acids the body needs to support and maintain its muscular, skeletal, enzymatic, and hormonal systems. The essential amino acids in Perfect Amino are in the exact proportions needed for maximum utilization by the body, and nothing else is utilized as well to make protein. You can get 10% off anything on the Body Health website, but particularly Perfect Amino, my favorite product, using code TINAMUIR10, or you can go to tinamuir.com/aminos. That's tinamuir.com/aminos.
So your thoughts are your beliefs, and they're either going to cause you to take action or cause you to not take action. And there's 6 mental training tools. And as a gift for the opportunity to be on the show, I want everybody to have the opportunity to get your mental toughness playbook for free. So Tina can send out the link. It's freeplaybook.net. And everybody can get access to your mental toughness playbook. And one of those, it's exactly what we use in our coaching work in business and in sports. And one of those mental training tools is called your I am statements. And an I am statement, it's a statement of belief in something that you believe you can achieve, but you have not achieved it yet. And I'll never forget, I was doing sales training for the St. Louis Cardinals organization here about this story. I worked for them for about 5 years, and this probably takes us back about 6 or 7 years ago. And there was a young lady who was in the audience, one of the leaders of the organization. And I didn't know it at the time, but she wrote down her I am statement. I am a marathon runner. And she had never run a marathon. And it was about a year and a half later. It was a Saturday afternoon, maybe a Saturday or a Sunday. And I got an email from her, completely unexpected. I had no idea this was her I am statement. And it was a picture of her arm. And on her arm, she had written in a Sharpie, just like I had shared when I shared my story with her, I am a marathon runner. And she told me that day she completed her first marathon.
Oh, wow.
And so that's the beauty of our work. And Tina, I know it's for you. You may not always hear how you've inspired people who are listening right now, but I want to tell you from one coach, and I'm calling you a coach too, from one coach to another, because I love your heart and reading about you and seeing how you push yourself and what you've been through and what you mean to your listeners. I know that these I am statements, people hear these things and they may take action and we may never know. So that day when I shared it with her, she wrote it down, she told me. And it took a year and a half, but it happened. So for all of you, it's that opportunity. I always say, who are you? So when I teach I am statements, I say, who are you? But you can't answer me with stuff you've already achieved. You got to tell me what you believe you can achieve. So for all of you listening right now, write down some I am statements and put them in the consistency. A lot of mental toughness is consistently showing up and following through with the action or saying or reminding yourself of the belief that you have in yourself. Write down that I am statement. Start telling yourself every day, watch your action follow. And I cannot wait to get a random message from some of you telling me that you've hit your I am statements.
I hope that so many people listening go do that right now. And I absolutely agree. I've talked a lot about this with regards to kind of matching up with the journal, like how, you know, things that you are going to do, particularly if someone listening right now, if you are injured, that can be your, I am going to get back. I am going to run this time. I am going to accomplish this. It will propel you to move forward during this rough time, or just for someone else, it, you know, I am going to run this time. And I think I just want to highlight one thing you mentioned there. You've said about this woman taking a year and a half. For someone listening, maybe your goal takes 10 years. Maybe it takes 2 years. You don't know. I think it's really important to not put a timestamp on this. I mean, I've talked a lot about how it took me 14 years to get my Great Britain jersey to run for them. But you better bet I had written, I am going to run for Great Britain. I have it in a piece of paper that says that from when I was 14 years old. So it might take time, but as Ben said, it's something you're destined to do, something you're going to do. So go write some down and then let us know what they are. We would love to see them. Tag us in them when you do it. All right. I want to get to the main part of this interview, asking you the same questions we've been asking all week, which starting with someone has a big race coming up in about, let's say, 3 months. What should they be doing to prepare for, like, their mental toughness, essentially, or prepare for the race mentally? Maybe 2 to 3 things you'd suggest.
Yeah. So let's start here. Let's start with visualization. Mm-hmm. I was going to start somewhere else, but I'm going to save it. Start with visualization. Have you actually taken the time to just close your eyes and to visualize what you're going to do, to believe in yourself, to, you know, see yourself running past Busch Stadium, to see yourself smelling, and to almost, you can say, visualization is so powerful. We can actually get our muscles to twitch when we visualize, right? I mean, it's incredible, the power of visualization. So I would love for all of you to just see and believe you running at your very best and being able to feel those beads of sweat, being able to feel your heart pumping, being able to feel that adrenaline when you cross that finish line before it even happens. So visualization, I'd say, would be number one. Number two, have a game plan that you know you are going to commit to and you are going to execute and you will give your best to one day at a time. The greatest champions, they win one day at a time. Championships are not won by doing all of your training in one day. I alluded to this earlier. So one day at a time, know what your plan is and execute it. And I don't just mean the physical part. Execute on your nutrition. Execute on hydration. Execute on making sure you're getting massages. Execute on doing the things you know you need to do for your body to be prepared for that race so that visualization happens. And the last thing I would share with you We just have a brand new series that came out on YouTube called The Burn. And in all the work that I have done with champions in business and in sports, literally from the field to the boardroom, Super Bowl champions, NCAA champions, top businesses in the world, Fortune 500 companies, I've identified that the highest performers, it's not just a why, it's not just your purpose. They have this underlying burn. There's something that just lights them up inside. And it's that burn that actually lights that purpose on fire every day. It's that burn that lights that why on fire. And I would encourage all of you, think about what that burn is for you.
What would be some examples of that?
I will give you the example. And, you know, a lot of times in interviews, this comes up early. It's coming up late. And it's perfect timing for the answer. My burn is my mom coming to the dinner table with that IV stand. My burn is my mother's last year living. I'm a 7-year-old boy. And my mother's dying from a rare muscle disease called amyloidosis right before my eyes. And she's literally coming to the dinner table with an IV stand to ask me how my day was at school. My mother had a journal where she wrote, beat the statistics, beat the odds, live with the disease that is chronic and fatal, believe in yourself, combat anything, purpose in life. And my burn is that on November 2nd, 1986, 11 days before my 8th birthday, my mother took the pen that she was writing with in that journal and she passed it on to me when she went to heaven to give me the opportunity to continue to write her story and to inspire the individuals that are listening right now that you have a story and you have a burn and you need to connect to it and to inspire my kids. And that gets lit up so hot inside of me every single day that it just causes me to want to fight. And if you try to break me or you try to shake me, I wish you the best of luck because you aren't going to be able to do it. Because this burn is so significant. And I know for some of you, this might be like, I've never thought of it that way. Like, I just don't know. It's in there. It is in there. And I would encourage you for this next race or for this next challenge that you have, it might be emotional for you. It might be tough for you, but let your fears go. Let your doubts go. Let your uncertainties go and go connect to that burn and go be the best you that you can be.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that with us. And you know, that must have been so hard. And I can only imagine how proud your mom must be of you, knowing that you've not only, you know, taken it on and shared her life, but you've also, you know, continued what she believed in. I absolutely love that. That's so sweet. And for anyone who's thinking, okay, you know, I haven't really had anything that emotional for me in my life. Nothing is really coming to mind that is that like, driving, like, could it be, I don't know, something that you, I'm just trying to, you know, I know what
I can give you another example.
Yeah, sure. Just something else to give a different kind of perspective.
And I'll tie it back to my mom, but I don't want you to emotionally connect to my mom here. I want you to listen to the example of what I saw. Mm-hmm. My mother knew that my brother and I were watching her actions. So for all of us, there's somebody watching you right now, whether it's your kids, whether it's a colleague at work that looks up to you, whether it's your best friend, you pushing yourself to be your best. And maybe it's just you decide to light yourself on fire this first time, right? Just feel that burn for somebody else. And it's going to end up making you realize that it was actually for you to be the best you can be. But there's people watching you right now. You're an example for somebody. And I think for all of us to be the best we can be, for the opportunity to influence others, to help them connect to their legacies or the stories they're writing, or the races so many of you have already run are examples to people of what's possible. They maybe didn't tell you, but go push yourself to do that ultra marathon, right? For those of you that have said, all right, I've done 25 marathons, but I don't know about that ultra marathon. You doing that ultra marathon might impact somebody in your life that's currently watching you that's never told you that you're impacting them, but go do it. Go push yourself to do it because of the impact it may have on somebody else.
Love that. Thank you. That is another great example. And that does help, I think, to kind of give a different perspective. Now, did you have one more or were those the primary two?
No, that was the primary two. But I love asking the question, if people struggle with purpose, finding this burn, which the whole burn is a relatively new way of me thinking about it. It's always, it's just kind of become the way that I'm articulating it now, which has turned into the series. I've always known it was there, but the burn is now how I refer to it. But I think for all of us, it's recognizing that that burn is there, that purpose is there. But if you struggle with it, it's asking yourself this question: grab your future and bring it to today. Mm. And a lot of times you deal, like when people are young, right? I'll get the example, well, I'm just young. I just graduated from college and I don't really know what drives me. And so I say, well, grab your future and bring it to today. What do you see? Tell me what you see in 10 years. When you wrote down that you'd run for Great Britain at 14, that struck a burn in your heart. That was your belief. You saw that happening. You grabbed your future, you brought it to today, you believed it. So a lot of times when people start to share what their vision is, it starts to tell us what they believe. And then it starts to tell us what's going to happen along the way. And similar to that visualization, we then have a chance to pull it forward, put it right in front of our face and say, see, you do know what's important to you. You do know you want to have kids one day. You running this race right now might be the great story that you tell your child when they're 13 years old about how they can do something that they don't think they can do. And you're going to tell them the story of your first race.
I love that.
So that's we can go find it. It's not easy. The easy thing is to quit and go find that picnic chair. But the tough thing is to push yourself to think differently to cause you to take different action.
Great. Thank you so much. Very helpful. And I love that phrase, grab your future and bring it to today. That's so catchy. Love that. All right. So let's think a few weeks out. Someone is, and you probably remember this well, you know, running their 20 milers, or if you're doing a half marathon, maybe it's 10 milers or whatever distance it is, and you feel like you're not able to run the pace you should or the distance you should be able to. You know, it seems like this, even just completing this race, even just finishing, is an impossible task, and you're not sure you can even manage it. What would you say to someone then?
First off, I would visualize where you start, right? So think of me, the baby stroll, all this stuff, right? And all those things could have held me back. I'm not going through that again. I don't want anybody past me. Like, how did this woman pass? Forget about anybody else and just focus on you being the best you. And I always share with people in business and in sports, I said, my greatest goal for our time together is for you to want one day at a time to look in the mirror and say, today I gave it my very best. And if you can do that, nobody can ever take that away from you, and you can never ask any more of yourself than that. So if you train to give your best and you see yourself, then have no embarrassment when that race starts. I think of the beginning of a race and everything's broken up into, okay, the people who are going to run 5-minute miles, or the gentleman who just ran the 202 who set that record. Like, I don't even know where he would have started. That's just crazy to me. And so whether you're starting at the 5-minute group or the 6-minute group or the 7-minute group, it doesn't matter. Don't be embarrassed. Don't look around and say, well, this person, I've got to be faster than this person, so I'm going to go up to the 7-minute group. However you've trained, whatever your belief system is, whatever is going to challenge you, you go into that group and visualize yourself starting with that group, and you visualize yourself finishing that race. Life is not about comparing ourselves to others. Life is about us being the best that we can be one day at a time.
Mm-hmm. And what if someone does typically struggle with comparison? Maybe not. Maybe they can avoid it, like in a race, but they see social media and they allow it to kind of taint maybe what they've done or how they feel about something. Any advice there?
So I happen to be a very faithful person. So I'd like to answer this from a faithful perspective, if that's okay.
Yep.
And in 2008, I was actually born Jewish. I accepted Christ in 2008. I got baptized in 2008. And one of my biggest struggles in 2008, corporately, and as I was building the speaking business, I've been speaking and coaching since 2006, was that I worried about what other people thought. And I had this spiritual mentor who ended up baptizing me. And one of the first Bible verses I've ever read, and I still have to read it every day, is Galatians 1:10. Obviously, I'm not worried about the approval of people, but of God. If I were worried about other people, I wouldn't be Christ's servant. So for me, I read that every day as a reminder, like, God's just asking me to show up and be my best. And I know for all of us, if we're all being truthful, we all go through it. I should be running faster than this person. I should be more successful in business than this person. I just want you guys to realize that everything you need is already in you to go and be the best you can be in your life. Just believe in yourself. Silence those doubts. Read that prayer if it helps you. I literally have read that Bible verse every single day since 2008. So you're talking about 11 years of reading that to myself, because I still need it.
Dang Foods is sponsoring this episode of the Running For Real podcast, and I could not think of many other snack brands I would rather partner with. I'm not someone who purchases many snacks, to be honest. I try to make my own a lot of the time, but this is one set that I give in to over and over again. They get me every time in the store. Dang Foods make these amazing coconut chips and all kinds of flavors, and these sticky rice chips that, oh my God, they're just making my mouth water even thinking about them. And now, friends, they have a runner product, something we can enjoy on the go after a run, wherever you want to enjoy it. Dang bars are plant-based, but they're packed with 14 grams of fat and 10 grams of protein. They have zero added sugar, but they still taste sweet. They are made with simple ingredients that you can actually see if you look at the bar, like chia seeds, you can see the coconut, you can see sunflower seeds, and it's made with coconut butter. Yum. My favorite flavors are cardamom chai, which tastes like a chai latte, can't complain about that, and chocolate sea salt. And for those of you lemon lovers, they also have a lemon matcha too, and some other flavors. For a limited time, Dang Foods are giving Running For Real listeners 15% off their entire order at dangfoods.com. That's dangfoods.com, which means you can go get these dang bars to try. You can also load up on the sticky rice chips and coconut chips I mentioned. So good. Use code TINAMUA at dangfoods.com and go get yourself some now. They are delicious.
I just want you guys to realize that everything you need is already in you to go and be the best you can be in your life. Just believe in yourself. Silence those doubts. Read that prayer if it helps you. I literally have read that Bible verse every single day since 2008. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about 11 years of reading that to myself because I still need it. Okay. So what we're talking about is not easy. And for some of you, it may never go away. For me, the conversations don't last as long as they used to. I'm getting pretty good at it. Still trying to improve with it. But for all of us, it's going to take time. Don't expect it to just happen overnight that you flip a switch and you never have that conversation anymore. But put some things in place, whether it's quotes or things that you say, for you to realize that you can improve in this area.
I love that. Thank you. Okay, that's great. And then just going back to the question about a few weeks out from the race, did you have moments or what did you tell yourself as someone who works in this field every day when you were maybe doing that 20-mile run you said about touching the arch and running back and probably thought to yourself, this is only 20 miles and I can barely finish this. And, you know, I hope to go faster and finish the race. Any thoughts for those doubts of, you know, whether you can even make it 3 weeks or 2 weeks out before from the race?
Yeah, so I would say doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. Kind of like that faith and fear. You can't have both. Mm. So even if you have to remind yourself 500 times in the day, I will remain faithful to this process that is in front of me. And I don't know what's going to happen on race day. I don't know exactly what my time is going to be. But just today, and I would encourage everybody, because this is how I still live my life today, just focus on today. Win today. And I keep asking yourself, what does it look like for me to win today? Mm. And if you win today and you win tomorrow and you win the next day and you win one day at a time, whether it's training, whether it's rest, whether it's recovery, whatever it might be, win one day at a time and you're going to be prepared for race day.
Great. Thank you. Okay. We're going to skip forward to race morning. Someone listening is almost shaking with nerves, feeling a lot of pressure. Now, you, interestingly, when you were telling your story, I wondered where this was going to go, but you said about Terry saying, or you saying you, when you thought you might finish and then her saying you're going to run faster. I was surprised as, you know, I know this is somewhat something a lot of runners struggle with, the expectations of, like, Terry had said, you got to finish faster. You had kind of told yourself you thought you could finish in this time, so you better do it. And you like mentally kind of panicking when you realized you weren't going to do that. So for someone listening who is, it's race morning, they're feeling a lot of pressure. They don't want to have wasted all this time, don't want to let people down who have given up so much for them. What would you say there?
Well, first off, I appreciate you having the same confidence that Terry had that allows me to see a little bigger glimpse into your heart. You believed when she said it that I could run it faster. But I guess for me, when I heard it, it was more just the inspiration. It was her sending me some love. But my expectations didn't change much because I know how fast this body can move. So, you know, I think it was more of just the belief and the passion and hearing that she believed in me, right? Mm-hmm. But I think for all of you, I would say to, you know, have the expectation for yourself, do the visualization, follow through, but have a routine that's going to make you feel poised and confident, right? So making sure you're waking up at the right time. And so for just popped in my mind, there's a golfer that I work with, and he's playing today, and he's a career amateur, one of the top career amateurs in the world. And one of the things we always talk about is just do the same things that you love doing in the morning. Eat the same vitamins. Mm. Don't change your vitamins. Mm. Eat the food that you want to eat. Wake up when you want. Like, do the things that you want to do. So have your morning routine. Know what that routine is going to be, and then execute it so that you've got great peace of mind. And, you know, maybe you do a little bit of visualization before the race. When you park your car, close your eyes, see yourself remaining calm, see yourself in that starting line. Do all of the things that you've done leading up to the race. And then at some point in time, when you put that number on your chest, you got to look down and you got to tell yourself it's go time. Mm. And start to feel that burn. Allow that burn to work its way through your muscles. And then just take off and go be the best that you can be. And I know it's being redundant, but, you know, just don't compare yourself to anybody else. Don't look at anybody else. It doesn't matter who lines up next to you. It doesn't matter if you think, well, maybe I'm going to move up to this 6-minute marker when you trained at 7.5 minutes, but you're like, I'm feeling fast today, right? Like, make good decisions so that you can run a poised and confident race.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's helpful. All right, let's talk about during the race. You've given us some tools already. We've kind of talked about this a little bit, but let's say someone is at mile 15 of the marathon, mile 8 of a half, mile 4 of a 10K, whatever it is, and feeling like dropping out is getting tempting. There's no way I'm going to make it. Now, you know, you talked about one foot in front of the other, just one step at a time. Anything else you would add to kind of pull yourself back into to kind of believing you can do this?
Yeah, so I want everybody right now, I want you to think. So whenever I share my mother's story, right, it's my mother's story is only going to take you so far, right? It inspires me every day. But I always share with audiences, I appreciate you listening because I know that's tough to hear that a young boy loses his mother. But everybody has a story. Each and every single one of you, you have a story. And I promise you, you have a story of something tough you've been through in your life that is tougher than this race you're about to run. And it provides perspective for you when you feel like you want to quit. And that's why if you pay attention to what I was saying, was I had the Sharpie, my mom's initials, my wife's initials, my children's initials. I thought about Terry. I thought about my mom. I thought about the men and women that fight for our country. Because all of those thoughts shifted my perspective to, I got to finish. Mm. And the moment that you start to have those doubts, we have to reframe and focus on the solution. So I call it the power to reframe. I learned it from my mom. It's focusing on solutions rather than problems. So I would start working on this during your training, because you're going to have those conversations with yourself during the training runs. And during your training runs, start to replace the negative thoughts with a positive. Mm. I can finish this race. I've been through worse. And start to shift that perspective and then finish the shifting of the perspective of seeing yourself crossing that finish line and how great you're going to feel.
Okay, that's cool. Thank you. Great. All right, let's talk about two scenarios after the race. One, it goes well, but now the listener is kind of feeling a little bit lost. Maybe they've reached that big goal. Maybe completed that I am statement, celebrated for a while, but now kind of feeling a bit like, okay, what now? What would you say for them there?
Well, when I finished my marathon, I thought my ankles were going to fall off, and I never knew if I was going to, I was going to walk again. I was literally laying in bed. I'm like, I don't know what just happened to my body, but I hope that I actually can move in the future. So I know there can be pain. I finished in 4 hours and 52 minutes. That was much slower than I anticipated. But you know what? I finished and I did something that I never thought that I could do. And so no matter what your time is, no matter how you feel about it, give yourself time to experience the emotion of it. But then as I always encourage athletes, whether you were happy with the performance or you feel like you left something on the track, break down the game film. Mm. So go back and review the race and say, okay, was there something at mile 13? Was there something at mile 14? Was it hydration? Did I not have enough nutrition on the run with me? Were there things I could have done differently? And what that's going to do, it's going to help you realize it's not that you're never going to go run another race if your goal is to run more races. It's just you got to take time and to break it down and say, what could I have done better? I mean, I've shared the stage with some of the greatest athletes in the world. Jerry Rice and I shared the stage. He's arguably the greatest football player to ever walk the face of the earth, ever. Mm-hmm. And in sharing the stage with Jerry, I remember he said to the audience, he said, you know, if I had 160 yards and two touchdowns on Sunday, I was the first one in the building on Monday breaking down game film to see where I could have improved from the game. So whether you did great or whether you were disappointed, I always share with people standard over feelings. Don't allow your feelings to dictate how you show up. Focus on the standard or the process that'll cause you to be successful. And part of that process is being honest with yourself about your performance and breaking it down and saying, okay, what do I want to repeat? Mm-hmm. And what are the areas to improve?
Love that. That's really good advice. And I like that you kind of used it in that same analogy. As we know, with the kind of ball sports that people do, watch film and look at what happened and kind of go over it. But we typically don't do that as runners. But why not? Like, you know,
I do it in business. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize they'll look on social media and they're like, oh, you just work with football players or this. Like, I do so much work in the corporate space, consulting for Microsoft. I mean, it's all my work started corporately. And in the corporate world, I encourage people. In the business world, if you're an entrepreneur, like, there's always an opportunity for us to break down the game film of our life. And all we're doing is saying, I want to be accountable to myself, mm-hmm. to figure out what can I do better and what are the things that I want to keep doing. So of course it applies in all areas, but that's one of those different thinking pieces. That's part of the mental toughness. If you want different results, you got to change something up. You can't just keep doing what you've always done.
So true. And anything else you would add for someone who did have a bad race? You know, we talked about kind of looking at the things that did go wrong, looking at things you could change. If someone's feeling, you know, a bit sad or depressed, like feeling like it didn't go as it should have done, what would you say there? Anything else?
Go find your Terry. You know, I think a lot of people think or they hear, you know, or I know in the intro, my bio and things that you shared about me, those are the things like you want people to hear. But I hope after this interview, people realize this guy's a big old teddy bear with a big old heart. Mm-hmm. And I still have a coach. I've had a paid coach since I was 25 years old. Why? Because there's so many things in my life where maybe I'm moving too fast and I don't see it. So just because I coach people at the highest level in business and in sports doesn't mean that I don't need to improve, doesn't mean I don't need to coach. I'm on my sixth book on the mindset of champions this year already. My commitment was one a month. I'm ahead of pace. I'm probably going to read 12 to 15 books on mindset. Why? Because I want to keep growing.
Yes.
And I think for all of us, we're never done. We're never a finished product. There's always more to learn. And I think it's so important for us, no matter what we achieve in our lives, like you check your ego at the door, have a willingness to learn. And if the struggle was that bad in the race, be authentic enough to go to somebody, go to your Terry and say, gosh, I'm struggling. Like, I'm disappointed. It's showing up in other areas of my life. You do not have to be alone. Mm-hmm. It's a blessing. I have a great coach because I can talk to her about so many things. And it's incredible what I'm able to share with her. She gives perspective and it helps me in so many ways.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I like that you're on the same kind of path as me with the growing thing. And I've always said, Ben, you'll probably get this and maybe agree with this. You know, people always talk about what would be one superpower you could have if you could have one. But for me, I kind of wish that I could use all 24 hours of the day, but like I wouldn't have to sleep, but I could press a reset button every day. So mentally, I felt refreshed. Like I didn't have to do the physical 8 hours of sleep, but I could reset everything at the beginning of each day because I just... Like, I'm sure you feel the same. There's so many things I want to learn about and do and experience. But I feel like that's so important to keep, like you said, growing and finding new things that excite you and interest you and making time for them. So, yeah, pretty cool. Thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
All right. So where can people find out more about you if they want to follow along with you in the future?
So on Instagram, we've actually made a shift. There's so many other speakers and coaches that we work with that at Continued Fight is definitely a platform that you can follow. But if you really want the behind the scenes, these kinds of nuggets, the fun stories, the behind the scenes travel stuff, the making of the show, The Burn, at Coach Ben Newman is our new account. So certainly encourage people to come follow us at both. And then Twitter and those other areas is at Continued Fight. And then the website is bennewman.net. And I just want to mention one more time, because it's important to me. A lot of times when you give somebody something for free, they don't take you up on it. Literally, I just gave you a book that there's websites that charge for it. So it's freeplaybook.net. There's no strings attached to it. It is free. It is the 6 proven mental training tools that we use in our coaching work. And if you guys could have read the email that Tina sent and some of the correspondence that we've had, she has so much passion and so much love for running and family and for all of you and this community that you guys are building together through this podcast. I can't not give you all that gift.
Oh, thank you, Ben. That's so sweet. And yeah, everyone listening, go get it. I mean, how cool is that? I'm definitely going to go straight and do that right now. So I can take a read myself, and I hope you guys find it helpful. Now, Ben, we just have 4 more questions to wrap up here, starting with one piece of advice you'd like to give the listeners for life.
So it comes from my mom. It's the greatest life lesson I've ever learned. And it's not how long you live. It's how you choose to live your life.
I love that. That's really good. Thank you. All right. One person to follow on social media and why?
Person to follow on social media would be my mentor, John Gordon, considering I can't thank him enough and give him enough appreciation. You guys go give him some extra love for me. It's at JohnGordon11 is all his social media. He's an extraordinary thinker, wonderful man, and I think you'll all love following him.
And I definitely can encourage you to go find John Gordon as well. I definitely agree with Ben on everything you just said there. I don't know him personally, but I definitely would agree with what it appears. Okay.
He's incredible.
How do you want to be remembered on this show other than being a big teddy bear?
Someone that encouraged you to not make excuses for why you haven't connected to your purpose or that burn that lies inside of you in the past, and that you remember, because of this episode, I connected to my burn and I'm going to be lit up for the rest of my life in a completely different way.
Thank you. That's great. And I would definitely say you accomplished that. All right. And finally, what do you tell yourself on the start line of a race or before you go give a keynote speech, something like that?
So I always do a visualization technique and just remind myself to just give my very best and to leave them in a better place.
Oh, that's so good. All right, Ben, well, thank you so much for giving your time today, for sharing your wisdom with us, and just for letting us have a glimpse into your life. We really appreciate it. And these tools can definitely be taken and used by everyone listening. So on behalf of everyone, I want to say thank you and look forward to following along with your future.
Thank you so much for having me, Tina. And thank you to all the listeners.
My friends, if you have a minute and you could leave a review on your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, aka iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Spotify, or whatever else podcast player you use to listen to this podcast, or if you would subscribe to this podcast, you will help me get out in front of new runners to make our tribe even bigger and even better. It might not seem like you as one person can make a difference, but really, it helps a lot. And it shows me you appreciate the hard work I put in for those. Thank you so much. Oh, how great was Ben? I think even if you exclude his points on our questions of the week, which were fantastic, there was even more in that episode to think about. We really should be challenging ourselves every day, putting ourselves in situations to walk the walk. I'm guilty of that, and I'm sure you may be a little bit too. You can find links to everything we talked about today in the show notes at tinamuir.com/episode122. And tomorrow we have an episode with sports psychologist and researcher Carla Mayen, who was recommended to me by Andy Lane, a psychologist we had on the show last year. Carla has a very different take on these questions, and I think you're going to enjoy it. I look forward to hearing your thoughts. In the meantime, go get yourself some Athletic Greens, Dang Bars, and or some Body Health Perfect Amino. All 3 of those products, absolutely wonderful. Love them so much. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Running for Real podcast. Be sure to check out tinamuir.com for show notes and even more helpful running information.